In this week's parasha, we find the mitzvah of milah commanded to Avram Avinu. And the question the Mefarshim asked, based on a Gemara in Yuma and other places, that we have a tradition that Avraham and perhaps the Avos will makayim kol haTorah kula before it was given. They were mitzvahinu mitzuvayos, so they volunteered to do mitzvahs. So the question is, if Avram kept kol haTorah kula, so why did he wait for a tziva? He should already did milah before God commanded. Why? And if it's better to wait, then why not wait for all the mitzvahs? So what's so special about milah that warranted a tzivoy from it that Avram did not volunteer until he was commanded? So from this in Alpert, others explain that on a pashtus is a bris. By definition, a covenant means two people, an agreement. You can't have a bris by yourself. So that Avram to do a bris as a relationship, a covenant, it would be meaningless. So therefore, he had to wait for the tzivoy. So there's a bris between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how some explain. Others explain, the Chasam Sofer, I think others, that the problem is that the reason why to volunteer tefillin, let's say, is not a problem. Volunteer sitzis, whatever it might have been. But to volunteer milah, that's not so simple, because milah involves an aveira. Milah involves chabura, causing harm to oneself. So really, without the mitzvah, if there was no mitzvah of milah, perhaps it would be usher to do, because you're putting yourself in danger, adding additional risk that one should not take on. So therefore, before the obligation, it wasn't neutral. You can't volunteer something that's dangerous. So if it's a mitzvah, so then obviously God's commanding us, and then obviously it must be safe enough to do. There is an element of risk to milah versus no milah, but obviously we assume that the risk is insignificant compared to the mitzvah. But to injure yourself for no benefit or no mandatory benefit, that already is a question. So therefore, that's what they explain. If he would have done it before the milah, it would have been kilko, it would have been chabura, you're causing harm, so therefore there would have been an iser, and therefore you had to wait for the tzivor. A3, they say over from the Gemara quotes, I think, in the Maharal Diskin, that we, as we mentioned, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, we have a principle, gadol ha-matzuva v'yose m'she'enu matzuva v'yose, greater is the one who's commanded than not commanded. And even though it's counterintuitive, and as Tosis points out, there is an Indian where volunteering for something is on a higher level than doing it. As you know, as if they say, if you're to wait for your parents to tell you to take the garbage out or take it out on your own, so on a certain level, volunteering is a higher level, but ultimately it's much harder to do. As we all know, child psychology, hopefully they grow out of it and they learn to listen to their parents, but at certain points you have to tell them the opposite. Whatever you tell them, they do the opposite, so therefore you know to tell them the opposite to get to what's done. Of course, at certain point you have to teach them to listen to you. But the point being is, no one likes being told what to do. Everyone likes volunteering, say, well, it was my decision, I'm doing it. So therefore, it's a much greater yetzahara to do something when you're commanded. So therefore, hence the schar is greater. Gadol ha-metzuva v'yoseh, misha'eno metzuva. Greater is the one who is commanded than the one who is not commanded. So therefore, that's one thing. So when it comes to other mitzvahs, where you could do many times, so big deal. I'll volunteer before the tivoy, so it's still something. And then once I'm commanded, I'll even get a greater reward. But when it comes to milah, you only could do it once. you only get bit circumcised once. And therefore, even though there is a concept of atovas dan bris, you could take some wood in lieu of it if you know what mo or other things, but the bottom line is, Avraham Avinu wanted to do the mitzvah b'toras mitzvah v'yoseh. You only have one opportunity, it's a one-time shot. So then Avraham Avinu, Hashem is telling Avraham, and Avraham picked up on it, you wait for the tzivoy. Once you get the tzivoy, then you can do it. So that's why Mil was singled out. As well, there's a fourth pshat from the Brisker Rav, the Soloveitchik family. They say the following question is, what we know, there's a person that's being circumcised and uncircumcised. So there's physically, when you do the circumcision, you're circumcised, you're gemalt, and before that, you're uncircumcised, you're an arol, as they call them. An uncircumcised, that was the big curse word during that day, calling someone an arol. So the question is, at what point does this person become an arol? So you'll say, well, practically, well, you're born an arol. Every person's born an arol until you're not, until you get the bris, so you're no longer an arol. However, the briskers say, no, what's first, the chicken or the egg? They say, no, it's the mitzvah of mila that creates the chal Hashem, that creates the status of being an arol. In other words, being uncircumcised physically, that's not, what's the problem? What's wrong with being uncertain? There's nothing wrong with being uncircumcised. There's nothing wrong with being an arol. So when do you go from uncircumcised to being an arol? It's once you get to sivaya mila and you don't do it, so then you have the status of an arol. And therefore, that's what they want to explain. The Meshech Chochma, I think the Sifsei Chochma mask, we find that Rashi writes, we see the Torah tells us that he didn't want to bow down because he felt it wasn't appropriate because he didn't have a mila. Either many times where he didn't have a mila and he seems to do it. So the Brisker Rav explains, no. This is right. God just gave the mitzvah of mila. Up until the commandment of mila, you don't have to feel bad. You might be uncircumcised, but you're not an arol. You're only an arol once the tzivoy comes in, and that's why Moshe. If he would have done the bris before, there was no arol. So then you're really messing things up. But once the tzivoy came in, the mitzvah of mila created the chal Hashem arol. And hence, that's why Avraham waited. In fact, that's a whole discussion. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam in the Gemara in Yevamah is regarding a Kohen Arol. The halacha is a Kohen eats Truma, but a Kohen has to be Gemal to eat the Truma. So, seems to be a Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. What happens if a Kohen who is physically uncircumcised. However, let's say halacha says you can't do the bris milah. What's the case where you can't do the bris milah? So, let's say the case is mesu achav machmas milah. The other brothers died for hemophilia, and the concern is you are. So therefore, the halacha is you don't do it. We can't do a bris now. We get into the details of halacha, maybe later on, maybe not, but you can't do a bris now. So the shaila is could this kohen eat truma? Because, in other words, is he considered an aro or not? What's the issue? So, how do I view it? Do I say I think it's a rabbeinu, the briskis go like rabbeinu tam, that, no, it's the mitzvah of mila that creates the chi of the chal Hashem arol. So if you don't have a chi of mila because meisu achmav machmas mila, so then you're not an arol, and therefore presuming you could eat truma. But or you could say, no, really you are chayav in mila. I'm just an honest. What could I do? But the chi of mila is there, and therefore you could say that you are an Aruch. That seems to be the Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's an Aron or a Yerushalmi, that they talk about Sach Trub. Let's say you rub oil on the baby Kohen. So on day 3, 4, 5, I think it's assumed everyone says it's okay. Because the Chiyah Mila doesn't begin until day 8. So the Shaila the Yerushalmi has is, what about Leil Shmini? When I say Uvayom HaShmini, do I view nighttime as a Chiyah, except as a technical obligation, technical dispensation, but it says Uvayom HaShmini, it has to be during the day. Or does it say, no, Laila is not the Zman Mila, so therefore it doesn't begin in Uvayom, so there is no obligation of Mila yet, so therefore he's not an Aro, and therefore I could stop Shel Truma. So that's the shtickle, the Briska Rav, regarding that issue. Is it the mitzvah Mila that creates the Shem Aro or not? And perhaps it's connected to a Geira Shaila, where Rav Chaim Moser was against, but the Shaila is, let's say a convert, a would-be convert, can't do Mila because of health concerns. That if you do a Mila, you it might lead to Misa. So the Shaila, do I say that, okay, that he's only, since there's no mitzvah of Mila, so maybe he's not an Aro? But Rabbi Geiris is different. It's not a matter. A Jew, you might be an Aro, but he's still Jewish. But the way Rav Chaim Moser Grzinski paskins is no. That without the Bris Mila, so you can't, you don't become a full-fledged Jew, and therefore we can't accept that type of convert. That's the issue here. Why did Avraham Avinu wait for the Tzivoy? I didn't keep Kol HaTorah Kulo, so either it didn't make any sense, a Bris is two people, like Rav Nissen Alpert explained, or the Chasam Sofer, others, because before the mitzvah, you were, it was us two, because you're causing damage to yourself. Chavallah. Number 3, Godo HaMetzuvah V'yosef, Mishayin HaMetzuvah V'yosef, like the Grom HaRal Diskin, and I only can do Mila once, I wait for the Tzivoy. Or we have the Briska Rav, that it's the mitzvah Mila that creates the status of an Oro, so therefore, before the Chi of Mila, you didn't have a status of an Oro, just an uncircumcised, and didn't have a status, you were just biologically uncircumcised, and therefore, to do a Mila without being an Oro would defeat the purpose. The purpose is it's supposed to be a status change. So you have to wait until you're the Tzivoy, then you become an Aro to a Gamalt. Those are the different reasons why Avram waited for the Tzivoy before he did Mila.